The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience.
Welcome to the Business and Oil Hour with readings from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American.
Hello, this is Joanna reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram Oil Report from Sunday, February 10th, 2019. Water and Energy Conference gears up for second year. Sessions will focus on issues, opportunities offered by water and energy, by Mella McEwen. Water issues and concerns flow through the Permian Basin, from how the area's oil and gas industry and communities can share the limited resource to how to best use water and lessen the environmental impact. Those issues and concerns prompted the University of Texas of the Permian Basin to sponsor the Permian Basin Water and Energy Conference. It debuted last year to a sold-out crowd and gathered international interest. The second conference is set for February 20th to the 22nd at the Horseshoe, and organizers expect another sold-out event. "We absolutely expect the conference to be as successful or more so than last year," Jonna Smoot, conference event chair, said in an email from Austin, where she was attending Midland Odessa Day at the Texas Legislature. "We're reaching a global audience with our attendees. We've had civil water engineers from Minnesota signing up to attend. We've kept a laser-like focus on retaining our original tenet of not being a commercially oriented conference. We ask our speakers to discuss their opportunities and issues in the context of water and energy and how they're managing those issues," she said. "A unique aspect for this year's conference is that we have landowners speaking. Those landowners addressing landowners and right-of-way issues include Richard Brantley, Senior Vice President, Operations with University Lands, John Mabee, Chief Executive Officer, Mabee Ranch, and Kirby Andrews, Chief Executive Officer, Guitar Water Services and Guitar Ranches. Other sessions will cover source and supply, reuse and recycle, gathering and disposal, government and other entities, legal and regulatory issues, and the water midstream industry. We've booked the education building at the Horseshoe just so UTPB can offer poster sessions and conversations and answer questions on a one-on-one basis regarding current educational research regarding water and water and energy with our audience," said Smoot. George Nana, dean and professor of UTPB's College of Engineering, said poster sessions will come not only from UTPB, but the University of Texas at Austin as well. "The College of Engineering is looking at efficient ways to take produced water, reuse it for hydraulic fracturing, and for agricultural purposes," he said. "The researchers, who include students, are working with current technologies to determine what is available, what are the benefits, and what are the opportunities available for improvement. Costs are critical because you can have the best technology in the world, but if it's not cost-efficient, it's not used," Nana said. "The conference is critical because the Permian Basin is not only the most active producing region in the nation, but is among the most active in the world and has a global impact. The Permian Basin is exploring opportunities to recycle produced water in an energy-efficient way so they do not rely on fresh water, and to reuse it so it's no longer treated as a waste product," he said. Nana said he hopes to establish a water research institute at UTPB, much like the one he led at Purdue University Northwest from 2007 until 2018, when he came to UTPB. "Such an institute would engage not only the oil and gas industry, but scientists from across the globe to come to the Permian Basin and conduct research." Bridget Scanlon, Fisher Endowed Chair in Geological Sciences and Senior Research Scientist, Bureau of Economic Geology at the University of Texas at Austin, will be part of the session on source and supply. She said in a phone interview that she will put the Permian Basin's water use in the context of the country's other shale plays. She also will discuss historical water use for hydraulic fracturing and how it's changed. "Changes in the volumes of produced water and how those volumes are managed, the projections for future water demand and produced water volumes. I will emphasize the importance of reusing produced water for hydraulic fracturing, which will reduce the depletion of groundwater and also reduce the potential of induced seismicity," Scanlon said. "The good news is that while the use of water and hydraulic fracturing in drilling operations has risen, and the volumes of produced water have grown, Those increases give rise to opportunities to reuse produced water, she said. Ken McQueen, an energy consultant and former New Mexico Cabinet Secretary, Energy, Minerals, and Natural Resources Department, is part of the session on legal and regulatory issues. He said he plans to focus on a draft white paper on water, on produced water, prepared jointly by the Environmental Protection Administration, his department, the New Mexico State Engineer, and the New Mexico Environmental Department. McQueen said part of the job at the department he headed was to ensure that the very important revenue source from the state's oil and gas development continued to benefit New Mexico's education, fire and police protection, roads and highways, and other state services in a state that's the fifth driest in the nation. As we look at what future impediments may exist to utilize produced water for alternative purposes, four come to mind. A regulatory framework by multiple jurisdictions, economic viability, ample pipeline transportation to get production from source to market, and being able to deal with increasing volumes of produced water, and the impact of technological advancements in horizontal drilling and hydraulic stimulation, he said. In the first year of the conference, Smoot said, "We felt the impact of developing an educationally based event that focused on the today and tomorrows of water in the energy industry, and we sold out to our full capacity." Smoot said in her email that the most often used word I heard used during our 2.5-day conference last year was collaboration. That word has definitely floated to the surface again in year two, as we're hearing how companies are reaching out amongst each other and finding newer, better, and more environmentally efficient ways of gathering and disposing of water. In this second year, I think you'll find a common theme of stewardship being discussed. The Permian Basin is the world's epicenter of energy, oil field activity, and we know that this takes a heavy toll on our people, the infrastructure, and most certainly our very precious resource of water. There are active measures being taken to address issues impacting the region, from housing to the medical, educational, and recreational needs of residents, Smoot said. There are also numerous groups looking into the area's roads and infrastructure and taking an active role in making it better, she said. Blackstone bets $500 million on growing full-cycle water management trend. Equity will help startup company Waterfield Midstream pursue growth opportunities, by Mella McEwen. Water management is a growing service in the Permian Basin, and Blackstone is betting $500 million that growth will continue. Blackstone Energy Partners, LP, part of Blackstone, has committed $500 million in equity to form Waterfield Midstream, a full-cycle provider of water management services, from gathering, treatment, and recycling to disposal. The $500 million equity commitment will help Waterfield pursue growth through greenfield infrastructure development and acquisitions. Waterfield Co-Chief Executive Officers Scott Mitchell and Mark Cahill told the Reporter Telegram in a phone interview that their subsurface expertise is what sets the company apart. "We all have upstream backgrounds. We know what operators face. We know how complicated it is. We know how complicated the subsurface is," said Mitchell, who has a master's degree in geology and worked as a geologist for Anadarko Petroleum before joining Cahill in starting Anadarko and Western Gas's Permian Basin commercial water infrastructure platform. "It used to be water management was trucking water to saltwater disposal wells. Then the next generation was to pipe water to SWDs to get trucks off the road and enjoy the economic benefits of pipelines," said Cahill, an engineer who got his start at Chevron. "I think we're entering the next phase where you'll see subsurface expertise. It's not just pipes and facilities, but knowing where you're putting the water and how you're putting the water." The men said that that is why they pay close attention to the research linking water disposal and induced seismicity. Waterfield is working with the Center for Integrated Seismicity Research at the University of Texas at Austin's Bureau of Economic Geology and is staying on top of academic research. "We're mapping the subsurface, the stresses, the fracture orientations to quantify seismic risk with the best tools available," said Mitchell. Cahill said they don't just have subsurface expertise. They have the ability to offer that full cycle of water services, especially recycling and reusing of produced water, to not only reduce the use of fresh water, but reduce the amount of water that is being disposed. The two said the idea for starting up Waterfield came from their talks with other operators during the process of commercializing Anadarko and Western Gas's water infrastructure platform. The eye-opener for us was when we were talking to other producers and we were talking about our focus on the subsurface, and no one else was looking at the subsurface, Mitchell said. That gave them comfort. Things would be done right. It dawned on us that this is how it will be done. He said producers have been reluctant to grant water management to other companies because it's so critical and it has to be done right. They know the subsurface, so they're reluctant to hand it off to someone without that expertise. Already, Waterfield has a 15-year contract with Gudon Energy to construct a new system to handle Gudon's water gathering and disposal needs across its 40,000-acre position in Martin County. That system, which will target deeper disposal zones, is expected to come online by mid-year. Waterfield also has an agreement with Eagle Claw Midstream to operate Eagle Claw's Reeves County water assets. 58 miles of gathering lines and 390,000 barrels per day of permitted water disposal capacity. Those contracts have met the company's goal of planting our flag, getting a platform in the Midland Basin and the Delaware Basin, said Cahill. They are seeking similar contracts with other operators and building infrastructure. We are actively pursuing building new systems, drilling new wells, adding pipelines, said Mitchell. We're also pursuing acquisitions. Our area of interest is the entirety of the Permian Basin. We have these two systems, but there are other areas we want into, like New Mexico. There are opportunities in New Mexico. Cahill said those acquisitions include acquiring assets. We're talking to producers about monetizing their water infrastructure or acquiring other midstream companies. We feel we have a lot we can offer. Whether it's greenfield development or acquisitions, it's all on the table, said Mitchell.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram. The headline, Midland College Begins Engineering's Partnership with Texas A&M Concho. Students can begin enrolling in Texas A&M Concho Engineering Academy in Midland College in August. The story was written by Brandy Addison. Leaders from Midland College, Texas A&M University, Concho Resources, and the community came together inside the Carrasco Room to celebrate the pathway for engineering students from MC to one of the top engineering programs in the nation. Texas A&M Concho Engineering Academy at Midland College is set to begin this August, and hopefully by 2020 students will transition to the main campus in College Station with ease. A gift from Midland-based Concho Resources helped launch the academy, which will give students the opportunity to transition from Midland College to A&M's main campus and College Station for their final years in the engineering program. The Texas A&M Concho Engineering Academy at Midland College becomes the seventh outside College Station. Currently, there are 1,100 to 1,200 students at A&M Academies in Brenham, Houston, San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, and Brownsville, according to Catherine Banks, Vice Chancellor and Dean of A&M Engineering. Banks again told the Reporter-Telegram the Academy will not be a traditional transfer program, but a transitional program enrolling students into Texas A&M College of Engineering from the first day. She said A&M faculty will teach required freshman and sophomore engineering classes at MC and will advise students year-round on the MC campus. Students will be able to choose from 21 majors in the A&M engineering program, and they will have their own A&M student ID, she said. Quote, these students are every bit of Aggies, regardless of which campus and community college they attend, Banks said. Continuing the quote, all the academy students are required to come to College Station twice a semester. They come to College Station each fall, more importantly, to be introduced to Aggie football culture, including an engineering tailgate with our former students. We bring them to campus to attend the Student Engineer Job Fairs. It is the largest student-run job fair in the country, with over 500 companies eager to hire Aggies, and the Midland Academy students will be there alongside our College Station students. End quote. Banks said there is no minimum test score, GPA, or ranking required to be accepted into the program. Instead, school officials will look at a student holistically, how well they score on tests, as well as leadership opportunities, career experience, and extracurricular activities. She said each student should have a very good preparation in math and science. The Academy will serve Permian Basin students not ready to make the trek to College Station for financial or other reasons. A&M University System Chancellor John Sharp said the Academy will give students the opportunity to save between $4,000 to $6,000 each semester, all while receiving the same privileges and rights as a Texas A&M student in College Station. Quote, "Those kids are going to be able to stay here," Sharp said. "Kathy Banks is going to send engineering professors here. They're going to teach engineering to kids, just as if they were in College Station. And after 2 years, boom, they're juniors in one of the top 10 engineering programs on the planet Earth. So we're really excited to be able to do this and mentor them. To do this for the Permian Basin is great for the Permian Basin and great for us." End quote. Sharp said the idea of bringing an academy to Midland came from Concho Resources Chairman and CEO Tim Leach, a member of the Texas A&M System Board of Regents. Quote, "I met with Regent Tim Leach over lunch not very long ago and was talking about how we're going to start investing in the folks that have made all this possible," Sharp said. "I wish every teacher and every state employee and every taxpayer in the state of Texas knew what an absolute blessing the Permian Basin is to the state of Texas. There are monuments all over the place of the people who have created this gift from God that is the Permian Basin that keeps on giving. And we have an opportunity now to begin a new path to give things back." End quote. A&M President Michael Young said that students in the Texas A&M Concho Engineering Academy at Midland College will benefit from the college's success with transfer students. He said A&M has the highest graduation rate of transfer students of any university in the state by about 10 percentage points. Quote, "Being able to ease into an educational process where students are comfortable helps performance dramatically," Young said. "Then they get to transfer, having had classes as rigorous as they are at Texas A&M right here in Midland. They get an extraordinary education," he said. "They will have chances while they are here to work in mentorships and internships with some of the very best engineers on the planet, then come study in one of the best engineering schools on the planet. And in the process, they will graduate. And they will go get those jobs that will ensure that while oil, gas, all natural resources are important, what's most important is the imaginative, innovative people who are in these industries who ensure that this is done in a way that continues to keep places like Midland on the very cutting edge of this great industry. Texas A&M has done that for 146 years. We are thrilled with this partnership." End quote. Banks said that two-year college transfer students are more likely to graduate with A&M engineering degrees than their counterparts who enrolled as freshmen. Leach said he thinks the Academy will, quote, "form a catalyst where we can see more higher education emphasis in our community and in our region, and that this region is going to change because some change can already be felt every day, and the community can change it for the better and build the society they want to be part of. I think that's going to be really important, Leach said. We are sitting on top of the largest, most secure, most profitable oil field in the world. End quote. Midland College and A&M University officials have said they plan on the number of students at the academy reaching 100. Quote, students have a higher success rate going through this kind of program and will have a higher success rate of hiring and keeping people as we grow them ourselves, Leach said. I think this will be one of the programs to address that need. End quote. Midland College President Steve Thomas said he is proud to be partnering with Texas A&M. He shared a story about talking to Sharp in the 1990s about the economy of Texas and how Sharp used a metaphor that has always resonated with him, spindletops. Quote, the spindletops were oil rigs at one time, and they were pumping oil out of the ground, creating a tremendous amount of wealth of resources for the state, Thomas said. Sharp then talked about the demographic changes that Texas was going to experience over the next 20 to 25 years, Thomas said. While the changes were rejected by the state demographer at the time, the numbers Sharp predicted were even exceeded. Sharp then said the 21st century was going to be built on the spindletops in the public school system. Quote, we have all these spindletops in our system that are going to drive this economy forward, Thomas said. Today we are celebrating a program that will give options to students in Midland to start their career at Midland College and be co-enrolled at Texas A&M and the Engineering Academy. All these spindletops that we have in Midland now will have more options than they've ever had before. For me, we're promoting a spindletop and lots of options, and we're very, very proud of that. End quote.
Groups call on lawmakers to prevent surprise medical bills. Organizations don't want patients involved in disputes between insurers and providers. By Jenny Deem, Houston Chronicle. A diverse coalition of Texas health insurers, business organizations, and consumer groups on Monday called on state lawmakers to better protect patients from the financially devastating effects of surprise medical bills. In a consensus letter, the groups representing millions of Texans issued a challenge to political leaders to keep patients out of the middle of billing fights between insurers and medical providers. When those battles occur, patients who try to follow the rules often get hit with charges, sometimes in the thousands of dollars, that they believed their insurance would cover. We are committed to working with the legislature this session to put an end to surprise billing and make sure patients are no longer held hostage, Jamie Dudensing, CEO of the Texas Association of Health Plans, the state's insurance lobby, said in a statement. Other groups that signed on to the letter, including AARP Texas, the Texas Association of Business Center for Public Policy Priorities, the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, the Texas Association of Life and Health Insurers, Texas Association of Health Underwriters, and the National Federation of Independent Business. Multiple pieces of legislation on medical billing are expected to be filed in coming weeks. Consumer advocate groups for years have tried to untangle the murky practice called balance billing, where any or all of a billed charge that insurance does not pay can get passed on to unsuspecting patients. This happens most often in emergency rooms, where patients don't have the luxury of time and often have no idea when they walk in the door if the doctor treating them or the facility itself is fully covered by their health plan. If the treatment is in-network, balance billing is illegal. But if the provider is out-of-network, there is no limit to the billed charge, often double or triple had it been in-network. mediation mechanism. Texas has one of the worst records in the nation for balance billing. The Chronicle previously reported that in Texas, 48% of overall claims from emergency room physicians were outside the networks of the state's three largest insurers, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Texas, Aetna, and United Healthcare. Health economists also have found that the likelihood of Texas patients getting an out-of-network bill after outpatient emergency room treatment is 27%, nearly double the national average of 14%. Patients who think they have been wronged can dispute their bill through the Texas Department of Insurance mediation process. More often, though, they try on their own to fight the insurers and providers over the bills. In previous years, lawmakers fine-tuned the mediation mechanism for disputed medical bills, declaring a victory each time. And while mediation has been successful in resolving the bill in the patient's favor, few know about the process or are eligible for its protection. Roughly 75% of insured Texans remain shut out of the system, including those with federally regulated self-funded plans in which large employers take on the risk and pay claims. Medicare and Medicaid recipients or members of Health Maintenance Organization, HMO plans. Those with HMOs or government plans, however, are generally already protected from balance billing. Similarly, a law passed in 2017 was supposed to bring transparency to the state's freestanding emergency clinics and require facilities to disclose insurance network status. It too has had limited success, as the language used by some of the facilities remains confusing and critics say misleading. Shifting ground. Consumer groups feel hopeful this time will be different. For the first time, you have these diverse groups coming together and saying one thing. The consumer needs to be protected and out of the middle of billing disputes, said Blake Hudson, Associate State Director of AARP Texas, the Elder Advocacy Group. He would like to see Texas model the system used in a growing number of other states where charges to patients can't exceed their in-network copays and deductibles. Any dispute over the treatment charge must be settled between the insurer and provider without patient involvement. I feel the ground has shifted this year, agreed Stacy Pogue, Senior Health Policy Analyst for the Austin Think Tank, Center for Public Policy Priorities. While consumer groups have long backed reform, it is notable that this year health insurers and business groups have joined, she said. But changes to billing practices are unlikely to come easily. Medical providers still say the solution lies squarely with insurers that won't cover necessary medical costs. The Texas Association of Freestanding Emergency Centers, the trade group representing more than 200 standalone emergency clinics in the state, said Monday in a statement it was fully in favor of patient-centered solutions to reinforce the responsibility insurance companies have to their policyholders to fairly cover their emergency care and other medical needs. The Texas Medical Association, the largest state doctor group in the nation, with 53,000 members, echoed the freestanding clinics. The health plans need to be accountable to patients for the product they are selling and not pass the buck to the physician, said Dr. Douglas Curran, president of the Texas Medical Association. Going it alone. Congress has vowed to tackle balance billing on a national level. Last week, more than 60 national medical organizations, led by the American Medical Association, sent a letter to U.S. House leadership urging accountability by insurers, limits on patients' financial responsibility, better dispute resolution, and keeping patients out of the middle of the fight between insurers and doctors. That letter was also signed by 41 state medical associations. Texas Medical Association was not among them. The group said it would come up with its own recommendations.
You've been listening to the Business and Oil Hour with articles read from the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American. This broadcast is heard Friday mornings at 6, Saturday mornings at 5, and Sunday nights at 7 on the Recording Library of West Texas Radio and streamed live at recordinglibrary.org.